having a break.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we can do Q&A after that.
Fantastic.
Whatever you need.
This is great.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
It's Bobby.
Bobby, hey.
I just wanted to say hi, Gerald. It was good working with you last week. I hope you got my email.
Yeah. For Gerard.
Gerard. You sent him an email.
I did get it.
About the meetups.
A lot of exciting. Yeah. I'm in the process of writing a whole bunch of stuff down. I talked to Bryant Nielsen with the Blockchain Academy, and I got a conversation with SimbaChain later today. So I'm going to try to get all that written up for our next meeting.
Awesome. I can only stay for the first 25 minutes, so I just wanted to introduce myself and say hi to everybody on the call.
Great.
Hello. The first 25 minutes are going to be the most exciting and dynamic 25 minutes of your entire life.
Fantastic. All right.
So it is my birthday, so you better step it up a notch.
Wow. All right. Before we're allowed to officially start, I have to read an antitrust policy notice. This is a Linux Foundation must do. Then we can jump right into it. So please bear with me. Antitrust policy notice. Linux Foundation meetings involve participation by industry competitors, and it is the intention of the Linux Foundation to conduct all of its activities in accordance with applicable antitrust and competition laws. It is therefore extremely important that attendees adhere to meeting agendas and be aware of and not participate in any activities that are prohibited under applicable U.S., state, federal, or foreign antitrust and competition laws. Examples of types of actions that are prohibited at Linux Foundation meetings in connection with Linux Foundation activities are described in Linux Foundation antitrust policy online. And if you have questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel, or if you're a member of Linux Foundation, you may contact Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove LLP, which provides legal counsel to Linux Foundation. And that's how we get to ring in our meeting. So hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending where you are. Excited to hear from our presenter, Gerard, who, given timing issues, maybe we can do rounds of introduction to each other during the 5-minute break. So maybe, Gerard, are you ready to just jump into it? I'm Rose, by the
sure.
way.
Sure. Do you want to share?
Chair of the group.
Do you want to share your? Do you want to share? Or let me share my screen.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
I guess I can do that myself.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know if let me know if you can see my screen.
We see your screen.
Okay. Yeah. It's a PowerPoint. It says introduction to the Government Blockchain Association.
Yep. Exactly.
Cool. All right. Well, welcome everybody. My name is Gerard Dashe. I'm the executive director of the Government Blockchain Association. So I've been asked just to tell you a little bit about the GBA, and essentially the GBA is a resource that you can use for blockchain. Before I get started, does anybody have any specific questions about government and blockchain or GBA? I'll make sure that I cover that. I'll just go straight in the presentation, then we'll do Q&A. All right, so the Government Blockchain Association. Let's see if I can get this slide to advance. All right. So we're a nonprofit organization. We're open to government and industry professionals and organizations. So GBA is free for anybody in the government to join. The private sector folks pay a small fee. Our goal is to keep it very affordable. Our goal is for every government employee in the world that cares about blockchain to be a part of our organization. And the reason why we do charge a little bit for private sector folks to be involved is because we need people to have skin in the game, right? If you go to meetups, there's a million people there that are talking about it, that are interested, that are curious. But we want to make sure that our organization is essentially filled with people that are serious about the space. And then we promote communication and coordination between local and global governments. So we function at both the local, the state, the national, the international level. So we have chapters at city levels. We have chapters around the world. We've spoken to the United Nations. So we really function. Oftentimes when people hear the word government, they think U.S. federal, but that, for us, that's not really the case. And all right, timeline. I'm not going to get into this very much. I'll just say that 2018 was our first full year in operation. But things have been moving fairly fast for us. So I wanted to just share with you some of the resources that we have available for folks. The GBA is a social media platform. We're really a community. So everyone that's a member, they get a profile, they have friends, they can communicate with each other internally. There's forums for discussions. There's document management systems. People are a part of many different working groups. Let me get into some of those. In terms of the resources we have available, I'm going to get into some of these. We've got working groups, communities of interest. We've got chapters globally. All kinds of programs that we're involved in. We do certification training. Anybody in GBA can post their events. They can post blogs on the site. It's all curated. When you go to our website, it looks something like this. So if you go to gbaglobal.org, there's so much here. There's like over 8 gigs worth of information here on the site. Let me see if I can move right into active chapters. This is where we currently have GBA chapters around the world. So chapters function a lot like meetup groups, right? The idea there is that they build a community of blockchain professionals. And so we say around here that solutions are developed globally, but they're sold locally, right? So in order for you to implement or deliver a solution, you have to have a relationship with the people that you're working with. So the purpose of the chapters are really to develop those relationships. They meet every month. They generally meet on a different topic every month. So last month was supply chain management. This coming month is voting. I think the one after that is charities and donations. We put together materials that we distribute to all of the chapters globally on different topics. And in that material, we promote GBA members. So we'll say, for example, hey, here's a whole bunch of information about blockchain and voting. And then for resources at the end, we'll say, here are the GBA members that can help you with that kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, we're really a business league. And my goal is really to promote GBA members, whether they're private sector or public sector. Communities of interest. We have communities of interest are really affinity groups. So we have affinity groups around, chimney crickets, banking and finance, college, university. I mean, all kinds of different ones. If anybody comes to us and says, hey, listen, we'd like you to build an affinity group around whatever we're doing, it's easy for us to do. And this is just a place, again, where people can connect, communicate, and collaborate. These are just some of our working groups, right? Acquisition management, asset management, big data. The list goes on and on. Budget accountability and transparency, cannabis, contract management. I don't know if everybody can see the screen, so that's why I'm reading some of these things out. Cybersecurity, economic analysis, education training. And what happens is the government folks come to these working groups and they say, here's the problems that we're trying to solve. Here's the challenges, right? And then the private sector folks say, here's our white paper, here's our promo, here's our product. And then the government folks, then they can take that information, go back to their contracting officers and they say, I need you to issue an RFP, here's the statement of work, here's my acquisition strategy. And we don't get involved in any of the formal contract processes that happens outside of GBA. But what we do is we get people together so they can do the imagineering and talk to each other and develop those relationships. Some of our working groups are doing all kinds of really cool stuff. Bobby's on the line. She may be able to say something a little bit about this later, but we're putting together. One of the things that we're looking to do is turn our chapters into training centers, or at least create that additional functionality. And I'm talking with one of our members. We have a goal of training 10,000 blockchain developers in the next year. So lots of exciting stuff. In the next slide. So here's just a sample of some of the GBA projects. We've got a group that's dealing with vital records, our identity management working group. In fact, we're looking at putting together an identity management solution for GBA Global because we're going to be rolling out our own blockchain with the GBA token, so we need to do a AML KYC with that. One of our members is a company called Donor, DHONOR.org. They're doing organ and blood donations, organ and blood transplants on the blockchain. Our healthcare working group is also putting together a certification course. We're We've got a project currently stalled right now, but we're going to get that restarted, dealing with blockchain and lotteries. We got a telecom working group that's doing some stuff in Africa. We're about to launch a big voting project. The voting project, we're going to be working with the Federal Elections Commission, and then we want to engage with the Secretary of State for all the states in the union to put together a study on blockchain voting, and then that'll be phase one, because there's a lot of, you know, it's not just the technology, there's all sorts of regulatory and you know, human dynamics, and there's all kinds of challenges and identity and all sorts of stuff with voting. So we want to engage our membership globally to deal with the study, and then we can look at actually building some solutions out. But that's kind of a step-by-step process. So that, at a high level, is a little bit about GBA. I'd be happy to entertain any questions that people have.
Thanks so much. This is fantastic. It's really just such a great depth and breadth of activities and geographies and topics. You know, it's really just quite wonderful to see what people can do when they get together and all very action oriented. Of course, again, want to thank you for joining us. I want to open the floor to questions so people can really take advantage of the time.
Sure.
So is the floor open, Rose?
Yeah, of course. Please.
Sorry. Hi, Zeldin. Hi, everyone. This is Hannah Norberg. And I am so excited to have you on this call, Gerald, because I'm an independent trade policy advisor, and I have been asked, I have written a few pieces, one for the Canadian government, for example, on how blockchain stands to impact international trade. And as such, I have been asked to speak at the WTO again on blockchain and regulation for 164 member states there. And the idea there is to give sort of information for these member state representative ambassadors and such to educate them in terms of what blockchain can do, but also what the bottlenecks are and what questions they need to bring back to their governments, because it's not just supply chain, because it's international, it needs to cross international regulations. So I, of course, have a gazillion questions. So I'm just going to ask one, and that is if you're available for a one-on-one call.
Sure. So are you a public sector employee?
I am not. I run my own business.
Okay. Well, so let me show you just a couple things. The answer is yes. And so if anybody wants to set up a one-on-one call with me, if they go to www.calendly.com/Gerard-. I'll see if I can put this in a chat box in here somewhere, which
perfect.
I think I can, but I'll do that in a minute. But let me just share a couple things with you. One, under resources on the GBA main page, if you go down to publications, you'll get to this page. And this is loaded with free presentations that are available to the public.
Yeah.
We do have a couple there on supply chain. The other thing is, if you want to join, right, and you go to the GBA Association and then come down here to working groups.
Yep.
We have a supply chain working group. And that supply chain working group, let me see if I can get down to it. We got several, actually. Randy leads that group. And that group has got, I think it was like 80. Let me check real quick. No, 55. 55 members in it that are blockchain supply chain experts.
Okay.
So besides being
able
to talk to me, you can, I don't know if you can see my screen, but you've got a ton of people here. And then there's also documentation in there and all kinds of stuff. So I'm happy. They meet on a regular basis. And all that kind of, so I'm happy to talk to you and answer any questions that I can.
Thank you. And I also have a couple of PhD students now, because I'm an economist, breathing down my neck in terms of wanting to get ready and wanting to get up and running and doing academic works. And so when I heard economic analysis, I'm like, what? You have a working group on that.
We do have a working group on that. That's a fascinating work group. In fact, we're about to publish an annual report on the future of money governs the law. We also have student chapters. But under events, if you go to, and I think your students will get a big kick out of this. If you go to events, it'll open up the current month, but you go back to September. And we had an event September 14th and 15th. Let me see if I can get.
I think you might be in August.
It's not. No. Let's see if I can get this thing to open. Oh, well. Oh, there it is. So we had an event at George Mason University, September 14th and 15th. And some of our speakers included Hans Timmer, who's the chief economist for South Asia at the World Bank. And this guy, he was the assistant director for the IMF. So we've had some, these are just some of the speakers we had globally. But yeah, economic analysis is something that I'll tell you something you will love. If you go to, this is going to knock your socks off. You can get to it a couple of ways. If you go to the main page, it says there's a podcast called The Future of Money Governance and the Law. Mm-hmm. And the very first one is with Chris Snook. He is the founder of the World Tokenomic Forum. So if they're interested in economics and cryptocurrency, that's an exciting, really phenomenal podcast with Chris Snook.
Perfect. Thank you.
And again, all of this information is available to anybody for free.
Yep. Thank you. I will be reaching out because my issue is sort of straddling a few other things that you're talking about. And so it opens up a whole new other thing. So I'll probably,
okay.
I will be in touch. So my name is Hannah Norberg, and I will be in touch. So you know who's bothering you. That's me.
No problem.
But it's for a good cause, 164 member states, you know, information.
Okay.
So
happy to help any way that I can.
Thank you. I'll take you up on that. So, Rose, I'm backing off now.
There's no need to back off. This is an open space for everyone. also, maybe, Hannah, I'd put in a plug. Maybe you should share with Gerard your paper, because I think it's pretty incredible, and he might find it interesting. But
there's also actually a paper that was written for George Mason University, but a think tank there. But I'll send them both in case you're interested, Gerard. So there are two papers, one for the Canadian Global Affairs and one for Mercatus, which is at George Mason.
So one of the things we do is GBA members can publish whatever they want to in terms of on blogs. We've got about eight gigs worth of data, blogs, and then also articles, books, stuff like that. And then we push that out using our social media. We got a couple of different tools. So when we send a strategic message out, it'll generally get about 100,000 views, generally within the first week or two. Yeah. So that's one of the things we do to promote GBA members.
Cool. Yeah. There's also a podcast already up for another think tank, but that's all right. Right.
Yeah. So under resources, basically we would just list the podcast. Again, the whole purpose of this platform is to promote GBA members. So when GBA members have a podcast, an article, a post, a publication, an event, we put it on the site and then we promote it. And so we promote everything sort of systematically. So like, for example, what I'll do is I'll send a post out and I'll say, if I come down here to Blockchain Advisory Services, I'll say, if you're looking for experts in, say, cybersecurity, right?
Yeah.
I'll send a message out saying, hey, if you're looking for experts in cybersecurity, here are the companies that we recommend that you use. And so it's always making sure that we have people listed in the right place or you know, and then promoting that category so that people all over the world can find the companies that, that offer those products and solutions.
Mm, very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Wonderful. It's great to see connections being made already. Would anybody else like to chip in with a comment or a question?
Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Hi, it's Bobby. Thank you for coming on. That was a great introduction to what you do. I'm familiar with your website because I obviously have an association with you. So thank you for sharing this with a group that, you know, means a lot to me. This public sector group is awesome. I do have to leave, but I did want to just shout out and say thank you. And for the public sector white paper group meeting after, the agenda is up there. Unfortunately, I won't be at the meeting, but I put the agenda up. So thank you again. And thank you, Rose, for hosting this. And I will see everybody soon.
And happy birthday.
Have thank you.
Day. I hope you're having a spectacular and a delightful time. Really.
Yes, I'm about to meet my sisters for lunch. So.
That's wonderful. Well, enjoy your day. And I hope it's just a wonderful, fabulous birthday. We're so glad that you hopped in and joined us even for this little bit, Bobby.
Thank you so much.
Great. Well, yeah, Bobby.
Bye, Bobby.
Bye, Bobby. Bye-bye. Bobby's fantastic.
Happy birthday.
Bye. Yeah.
If she's not off to a party, she's off on a birthday. Her life is like so exciting.
It is. I know. Yeah. So would anybody else like to jump in?
Hi, Gerard. I do have a question for you. So do you cover the aids and grants given by different governments for different locations? Let's say the U.S. aid in Africa or Asia or some other grants by the maybe European Commission or else, which is part of the government initiative to promote the economic growth in different areas. So is it also covered as part of the GBA?
Well, I didn't hear the very first part of your question, but let me see. Was the first part of your question, do we cover grants that are being offered by different
yes.
agencies?
Yes, grants and aids, both.
Right. So, under resources, now it depends on whether you're a member or not, right? Under resources, we have an area here called grants and projects. So this is a relatively new space on our website. We haven't really fleshed it out yet, but we do have different regional leads, right? So if you go under about, you'll see that we have a regional lead for Africa, right? Which is Armand. Where's the rest of those? South America lead, North American lead, Asia, and then where's our European? Oh, the European lead is Shiv. So these guys are in touch with what's happening on in their local countries. In fact, I'm in the process, actually when the call started, I'm actually in the process of writing this post about what's happening in the Middle East, right? So this is really GBA Middle East and North Africa. I just came back from Abu Dhabi. And so in this post, we're notifying our members of all the different, sort of major efforts that are happening. So remember, we're only 2018 was our first full year, but we're in the process of developing the infrastructure to really harvest that kind of information and get it out to our members. We're okay at it. It's an area where we definitely need to get better at.
Okay.
Fantastic. How was your trip to the Middle East, Gerard, if you wouldn't mind? I mean, it looks like a furious amount of activity is happening there. What did you take?
Shazam. I don't even know where to start. So the event that I attended was, there were 3,000 people there. So I was asked to come over to be a highlight speaker for the blockchain. This was primarily a cybersecurity event, but it was in the Emirates Palace, and the Emirates Palace is it's crazy. It's
that already sounds amazing.
It's the largest, probably the most expensive palace in the UAE. The inside, I mean. Gosh, like there was just so much gold lined on the inside. I mean, it was just, in fact, while we were there in the same building, President Putin was meeting with the emir of the UAE. So it was definitely a high class place. They're taking this very, very serious because they're about to run out of oil. And this is something that they're very, very serious about. So I'm looking for a post that's got some pictures on. I can't find it. There's too much stuff in here, but it was really amazing. In fact, I had a chance to speak to a bunch of folks from the Smart Dubai project. Yeah, there's a lot, and GBA activities in the Middle East are just really kind of, they're taking off right now. So it's pretty exciting. We sent some of our leadership to Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, UAE, and then we've got chapters in Egypt, in Cairo, and just a whole Lebanon. We're about to launch a training center in Lebanon. There's just so much going on there. I don't even know where to start.
That sounds remarkable. What makes you think there's so much interest in that region? You know, like almost, if not above and beyond other regions, but they seem to be surging into implementation really fast. I mean, why do you think that's happening?
Well, don't mistake fast for good, right? So, for example, in Dubai, you know, if you've heard of the Smart Dubai initiative, right, the edict came down that by the end of 2020, they would launch blockchain solutions. And it reminds me of when I was working at the EPA, when President Obama just got elected, and I forgot what the name of the program was. He had a major jobs program. He wanted to make sure that we had created jobs. So the edict came down through the EPA, just spend the money. I don't care what you spend it on, just spend it. And that's what these guys are doing. They're like, just build a blockchain thing. I don't care if it's good. I don't care if it works. We just have to get it deployed by the end of the year. And so my concern is that they've built up all this hype, right? And again, they're in somewhat panic mode because they're about to run out of oil. And, they're trying to build a bridge, but they're not really doing it smartly from what I can tell. So I'm afraid that there will be a backlash when a lot of these projects don't actually pan out because they've been hastily implemented. But they're just pouring money into it. It's like crazy.
Fascinating, actually. Well, I don't know if anybody else wants to jump in on this conversation or start a new thread here. It's interesting to think about all the different layers. So who's jumping in, please? Oh, I thought I heard somebody trying to jump in. Okay. Yes, come, please.
Okay, Gerard, I do have another question. So based on your experience in the government sector, I mean, there are multiple areas in which blockchain is being implemented, beginning from finance, supply chain, healthcare, identity management, and many other sectors. And again, most of these are also covered by the government, like in the countries like Middle East, Asia, and Africa. So where do you see the highest momentum, if you may rate specifically any vertical?
Well, I would say that many of those areas you're talking about are very interesting, right? I think healthcare, supply chain, and in those areas, blockchain, I think, will eventually, you know, provide some value. But it's going to be a long road, right? I mean, we have a lot of regulatory barriers to come up. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of our members who's in a bank, they wanted to do just a proof of concept. And so he was basically using Ethereum for his proof of concept. So he went to his finance and accounting department and he said, look, I need to buy some Ether. And they said, you can't do that. We're a regulated industry. And he said, look, this is not going to touch customer funds. It's just a little side project. And the accounting and legal department, they had such a lack of understanding, and the laws and the rules were so unclear, right, that he couldn't. I mean, it took him forever just to get $100 worth of Ether for his proof of concept. So you're going to find things like that kind of across the board, except for one industry, right? The one industry that was the most negative about blockchain and cryptocurrency was the financial services industry, right? I mean, they were pumping out the most negative information. They're also the ones that are going to get rocketed into this faster than anybody else. And the reason is because if they don't, they're going to be Ubered completely out of the space. So if you want information about the financial services industry, under resources, come down to publications. And if you want to find out where that industry is, under presentations, come down to banking and financial industry. In fact, this top one is probably a good one. So there's a presentation here that talks about what the banks are doing. I had an opportunity to speak to a conference room full of central bankers in New York last year, and it was fascinating. Usually, when you're speaking to a conference, you know, half the people are on their cell phones or are tapping away on their computers. In this particular thing, every single one of them was just completely absorbed in the subject matter. So, this presentation talks about what the banks are doing, what the central banks are doing, the retail banks. And the other thing that's fascinating about this space is the banks are realizing that they can do peer-to-peer movements, cross-border payments, faster using a blockchain than they can than going through a central bank. So there's two financial networks right now using blockchain. One of them has maybe about 200 banks. The other one has about 300 banks. And they're completely bypassing the central banks. The central banks, in response, because they're trying to remain relevant, are creating their own central bank digital currency, and they're looking at cutting out the retail banks. So this industry is really causing a huge amount of chaos in the financial services. But this presentation talks about interbank security settlement, just all sorts of different use cases, trade finance. So anyway, if you go through the presentations on banking, you'll find just all kinds of really great use cases in terms of how the financial services industry. All the other industries they're creeping along, but this industry, I think, you're going to see move at a breakneck pace.
Thank you, Gerard.
Sure. Hey, listen, I need to take about a 5-minute break, Rose. Sure. So if people still have questions, I'm happy to answer it while I'm on the road, but I need about 5 minutes.
Sure. Well, look forward to you joining us back, and we'll do just kind of a round of introductions amongst ourselves and then, source any additional questions. But this is definitely fascinating to see the leading edges of where blockchain is really changing things. So please take a break, and we look forward to having you rejoin us very soon.
Thanks.
Great. So while
Rose, there's a question when he comes back. There's a question from Alfonso.
Yes, I see that.
A question. Yeah.
Definitely see that. For everybody else who's here, I see many of our core members. I see one new member who I don't believe has joined us before. So I don't know if they would like to introduce themselves, if this is their first time. Otherwise, if you want to remain quiet, that's fine as well. I believe it's a caller from Asia. Maybe listen. Okay, well, we're glad you're joining us. Everyone else, good to see and hear from you. I see Sean, you're here, and Saptarshi, Alfonso, and Hannah. So we look like we've got the crew. I guess it's a good time for us to just consolidate any additional questions we might have so that we can make the best use of Gerard's time when he comes back.
Rose, I might have one question for you.
Okay.
By the time Gerard might get back in. So you have been working with the United Nations as well, engaged with some sort of works. So how do you see the interaction between the different governments, let's say from Asia, Europe, and US, and with the UN? And what is the scope of blockchain to impact UN? Because just today I read some updates in LinkedIn from some UNICEF lead was looking for blockchain resources, and I see that they are pretty much interested. So what is your thought in this regard?
Sure. Well, I think you stumbled right upon it, that UNICEF is absolutely one of the most advanced agencies in the UN, and they actually have a dedicated, you know, sort of small but real blockchain squad in-house, which is pretty unusual, to be honest. They have been setting up their own blockchain instances for use in UNICEF. Like, I just saw a new blockchain going up that was to, you know, award credits to UNICEF staffers who would be willing to mentor grant recipients. So they're really trying to figure out what to do with blockchain. I think if you just look up UNICEF and blockchain, they deployed a couple of projects. I don't know exactly what the overall strategy is around it, other than that they're investing in it. I know that they've made small grants to blockchain companies through their venture fund, looking for companies that were doing blockchain projects that could help women and children. That happened, I want to say, maybe earlier this year or even last year. I'm not quite sure which. But they did actually run a competition, and you can see who the winners are. So it'd be interesting to follow up with those. I know also the World Food Program did some blockchain work in terms of food for refugees. But in terms of like a very unified strategy on blockchain, I think it's very early. And the UN as a whole doesn't have really mature regulatory point of view or normative point of view or governance perspective yet on blockchain. It's really at the point of being innovation experiments on an agency-to-agency basis. And so to the extent that, to circle back to your question, governments are getting involved. Governments, I think, are still pretty removed from all of these activities. So governments provide donations to individual UN agencies, and then those agencies either have to earmark them for specific activities when they raise the money, or it's general funds. And so they've been using some of these funds to run their own experimentation. But how that ecosystem connects back up to their donors is, let alone the member states and norms, I think it's still pretty early. I mean, they're really working on things like data privacy and data norms still, and haven't really had any sort of consensus yet on blockchain. So I don't know if that covered your question, or I could go into more detail if that makes sense.
Yes, that absolutely covers, I mean, most part of my question. And the other part was basically if blockchain could be implemented to cover up the interaction between different countries in the United Nations, let's say when different countries are contributing funds for the operations of the UN. So that could be brought under a blockchain for provenance tracking or maybe some sort of a privacy also, if feasible. Some of the features of Hyperledger that could be incorporated on the day-to-day operations.
I think long-term, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I suspect that won't happen next year in terms of timeline for them, just because they're pretty conservative actors. But in terms of one of the biggest topics being traceability of funds, you know, like a lot of, I think a really big pain point within the UN and anybody else that receives donor funding is the tracking and reporting and how much effort is put into, you know, tracking and reporting where did the funds go so that they can be, you know, auditable and have, you know, clean books and be eligible to be receiving donations for the following year. And this is usually a very heavy lift for human resources within these agencies. So to the extent particularly that the transparency of donations can be tracked in a more automated fashion and in transparent fashion, I think that that's going to be very interesting. But whether they're equipped to move very quickly on it, I suspect not. But they're going to want to probably study it. But I think the first step is actually a lot of education and understanding, because they move pretty cautiously, actually, in the UN compared to, I think, smaller government entities, as this is a global government entity. So they probably would need to see it work somewhere else. before they could imagine how this would work for them, is my guess.
Hi, this is Gerard. I'm back online.
Hi, Gerard. Hey. We were having, actually, I think Saptarshi, it'd be worth repeating your question in case Gerard has a separate point of view on this about the United Nations.
Pardon, on the tracking of funds?
Sure. I mean, if that's, yeah, I think that one or the broader one.
Okay. But
the one that you like.
Sure. So Gerard, I was just asking Rose a couple of questions. So the first question was, what is the stand of the UN when it comes to blockchain? From a broader perspective, how do they see blockchain and emerging tech? And the second question was, let's say there are different countries who are contributing funds to the UN for the operations of UN, and in a day-to-day, you know, operations, can blockchain play a key role there for tracking of the fund and how it is being utilized to bring more authenticity, you know, kind of a more transparency in the flow of fund, utility of the fund and associated activities? So I was just taking her perspective, her comments and thoughts in that regard.
So there's a couple things. The first one is, Rose, did you tell them about the World Food Program blockchain project that they did?
I very briefly mentioned the refugee feeding program, you know, in the context of World Food Program has a blockchain, as does UNICEF has a few as well. So I was noting that agency level experimentation.
I don't have access to my computer right now because I'm driving. But if you go to the gbaglobal.org website, and you in the top right hand corner where there's a little looking glass, you do a search for World Food Program or UN, you'll get some articles about some of the programs. One of the programs they did was a World Food Program with the Syrian refugees, and so the that was a proof of concept that was very positive. It was on a limited basis, but they demonstrated how. So basically, the way it works is when the Syrian refugees come across the border, they get an ID using biometrics, and they get a card that is used for purchasing food at like local grocery stores and stuff like that. And what they were finding was that the amount of money they were paying in transaction fees was very, very high, right? And so when they put this on a blockchain and they were able to essentially reconcile the blockchain with the bank, on a monthly basis or something a bit more periodic, they were able to save, and I don't remember exactly what the numbers were, but I think it was in the tune of millions of dollars for the food program. So that was a proof of concept that it worked very well. We have a relationship with an organization there at the UN, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. If you shoot me an email, I'll try to get you that information. But they are aligning blockchain projects along the SDGs, the Sustainable Development Goals. So, so if you think of, you know, the UN has a whole bunch of Sustainable Development Goals, you know, which involve clean water, land, economic inclusion, gender equality, just all sorts of stuff. So there's a number of blockchain projects that are lining up against those SDGs. In the GBA community of interest, I think that there's a UN SDG community as well. But if you shoot me an email, I'll try to get you some more specific information.
Sure. Thank you, Gerard. I'll do that.
Sure.
And actually, Gerard, if you could tell us again how people could get in touch with you, I would type it in on your behalf in the chat box.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Is it Calendly?
Right. So so if they want to send me an email, you have my email address. Why don't you send that out to them?
Okay.
If they want to schedule a call, it's www.calendly, which is calendly, .com. / and then it's my first name - my last name. And they can use that just to schedule, if they want to schedule a 30-minute or 60-minute call.
Okay. Done. And then also I'll look up your email and type that in. But let's see.
Yeah, if you go to the About page on GBA Global, go down to the Leadership page. There's my name. If you click on that, it'll take you to my profile. which has all my contact information.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great. So everyone now knows how to find you, which is exciting, and it seems there's a lot of interest. A question was put in the chat, which was, is GBA developing a blockchain toolkit?
A blockchain what?
Toolkit.
So what we're doing is we're putting together a list of production-ready blockchain solutions that are available and created by GBA members, so that any and we're going to put that directory out at the end of the year, and then we'll be updating it throughout the year. But so we are going to essentially put that together. From a development standpoint, one of our members is a company called SimbaChain, and they have a tool that allows people to build blockchains without being a developer. So it's basically a point and click tool that enables people to build blockchains. And one of the calls I have later today is with them, because we're gonna roll that information out to all of our chapters globally.
That sounds amazing. Is it? How does that work?
It's a lot like building a website with WordPress, right? They've built all these tools and functions for smart contracts, for voting, for all sorts of, identifying an asset, its status, its class. And so, if you go to GBA, you get to it a couple of different ways. Under GBA Association, go down to members organizations and type in Simba, and you'll get to their site. But it's a free resource.
That's amazing. It's always kind of extraordinary to watch how technology really emerges from the edges to being something that everyone can participate in, and how quickly that really does move. It sounds like with Simba, that's another big hop in terms of that evolution.
Well, and so Simba's probably the most advanced, the most easy to use tool like that. But a lot of the blockchains are creating this tool set, and it's a blockchain by blockchain specific tool set. When you say a toolkit, I think all of GBA really is a toolkit. I think the entire website is somewhat of a toolkit, because we're trying to provide the information, the tools available. The problem is it's just so much, and just organizing it and making it easy for people to find is tough sometimes.
Well, it seems like there's a torrent of information and new things developing at all times. So, really kudos to you and everyone at the team at GBA for, funneling that in and then putting it in a really well-documented, findable way, which is a great public display. Really just want to plug that to everybody here. It's really worthwhile.
I'll tell you something crazy.
Yeah, what?
Our best day was 15,000 unique visitors on a single day.
That's insane. That's amazing.
Even it's exhausting.
What happened on that day?
I don't really know. When we were looking at sort of the usage metrics, we saw that spike. And unfortunately, it had been a while earlier, so I don't really know what happened on that particular day. Maybe there's an article that came out in Forbes or something like that.
Amazing. Well, that's a good sign that there's a lot of interest, and it seems to be a growing and really healthy ecosystem. So, again, thank you so much, Gerard. Kudos for spearheading this association, which seems to be filling so many needs. And being everywhere at once, I suppose, even on the car, spending time with us. So incredibly appreciative, really, for your time and expertise and your willingness to engage in conversations. It's really great.
You bet. And don't forget to reach out to the folks there at Linux, because we're happy to extend a free membership to the association.
Absolutely fantastic. So maybe just for anybody here, if you're part of, maybe you could say correctly, if you're part of a nonprofit, you have eligibility for a free membership to GBA, is that right?
I'm sorry, say that again.
It said, I'm trying to make sure that the folks on the call understand correctly about the nonprofit status in GBA.
Right. So we basically offer free membership to any nonprofit. So if you're a nonprofit and you'd like to be a member, then by all means, just shoot me an email or set up a call with me. We'll get that all going.
That's fantastic. It's an amazing public service you guys are doing. And again, many, many thanks for spending your morning with us. We really appreciate it. And it's been incredibly fruitful. So thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye. Take care. Drive safe.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you, Rose, for setting this up.
Hey, thank you, Hannah. Yeah, this was a great conversation. Really so much going on.
Awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. How's everybody else?
Yeah, I'm good. I've had meetings with Saptashi and Sean this week. So I'm all, I'm filled up. I know where everyone's at.
Fantastic.
Not just you, Rose. I just haven't heard where you're at.
Where am I at? I'm in New York. I'm good. But we'll make our meeting. I see Alfonso, you're on mute still because of your construction, but we will find our time to all talk together, which today wouldn't be the right day, but we'll figure out a time in the coming week or two.
Perfect.
Yeah, this was an exciting presentation just to see like how many resources are out there and how much activity is happening. It's nice that a group is documenting it and linking people. It seems really important and useful. So I'm glad that.
Yeah, and it's this sort of thing that for so many things, we're like, I wish there was something I wish there was such a place that there is.
Yeah, they're actually doing it, which is extraordinary and awesome. So, hooray. I guess I'll top that. I don't know if anybody else has any other issues or business they'd like to bring up before we close out our call of today. I'm glad you're happy and well, Alfonso. Thank you for sharing. But yeah, if anybody wants any closing comments, remarks, updates, anything, but we seem to have had a really successful call. Please feel free to share now. Okay, then I'll take that as we are all good. And again, thanks everyone for joining. Looking forward to our next call in about 2 weeks. And hope this was as interesting and informative for you as it was for me. And thanks so much for joining.
It was. Thank you. Thank you so much, Rose.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Have a great weekend and great to see everyone. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.